Speaking on this program is Brother Charles Pledge.
All rational men and women who are of morally competent age are accountable. All do not like to hear this affirmation, but it's true nonetheless. In the next few minutes, let's examine some reasons why this is true. First, many in our society, perhaps even a majority, are in denial, or at least appear to be in denial, about individual accountability. We want to blame everyone else for our actions and for our circumstances. A murderer is brought to trial, and his defense often amounts to, "Society made me do it." A person abuses a child, and at trial he blames his father for treating him in such a way that he can't help what he did. A young man is on trial for substance abuse. His only plea is, "I just couldn't say no." We could go on and on with examples which appear to indicate that deep down most do not believe in personal accountability. But this may be a superficial conclusion. We believe there is a belief, a persuasive and pervasive belief in personal accountability or personal responsibility. But many in this seeming majority are in denial of that which they know to be true. Why do we say this? Most generally agree to the truthfulness of this in the everyday realm of life. Remember, I said most people agree. Some will never agree, regardless of the evidences introduced. But by the very fact you're listening to this tape, we believe you will generally agree to the proposition that man is an accountable being. When we go to a grocery store and take merchandise to the checkout counter in order to pay for it, we acknowledge we are accountable to pay for the goods. When we stop at a traffic light, we acknowledge we are accountable to the laws of the land. When we pay taxes, we acknowledge that we are accountable to the government of our country. These matters could be multiplied over and over with nearly 100% agreement about accountability in them. However, we want to focus on man's accountability to Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are several reasons to believe that all who are rational and are of sufficient age to be competent to make and execute choices between right and wrong are accountable to God. We want to investigate four of these reasons as time permits. Reason number one, man is a rational creature. Man is a creature of rationality. By that, we mean that man is capable of reasoning correctly from point A to point B. Now, we're not saying that all do this. We merely say all normal people are capable of this. Man can reason from cause to effect. If you walk into your house and find yourself standing in water, you immediately expect a cause to be present. Did a water pipe burst? Did someone leave a faucet open? Did vandals flood your house? What was the cause of the overflow of water? All who are mentally competent will immediately recognize that some cause produced the effect of water in your house. This proves you are a creature of rationality. Even irrational people will try to reason. They simply aren't mentally competent at the moment to reason correctly. People are able to solve problems rationally. If the road you normally take to reach your house is closed because a bridge is out, you begin to solve the problem. The solution may not always be the best one, but it is a solution of sorts where you reason from cause to effect. Why is man this way? Is it an accident? Did nature blunder upon this condition? Is it evolution? If so, is man evolving to a condition beyond rationality? Or is the answer a simple, God created man, a rational being? A rational being in order that man might be accountable. We believe this last answer is correct. The Bible tells us that man is accountable to God. We read in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." We read again in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, and the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We read again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The Bible presents God as good and just. All accountability to God, then, shall be on a just basis that is good for all mankind. Paul affirms that the outcome of life shall be good for those who love God and who live according to his will. We read this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God is a God of integrity who cannot lie. We read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We read again in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Man, whom God created as a rational being, is able to reason from cause to effect and understand there must be a higher being than man. By this course of reasoning, man will not learn who this being is apart from a revelation by this being, but man can at least know by rationality that there is a supreme being above all creation. We'll not go into the cosmological argument of the universe at this point. We'll not look into the cause-effect evidences related to the existence of the universe to prove there had to be a supreme creator who reigns over all his creation. We will refer to just one fact and let you draw your own conclusion about it. Scientists have concluded from their studies that every part of the universe about which they have studied is dependent upon something else for its continued existence. In other words, every part of our universe is a dependent part. If every part is dependent, that makes the whole universe dependent. Well, just what is this universe dependent upon, or who is this universe dependent upon? Is this universe dependent upon a person? Whatever it is upon which the universe depends for its continuation, that is the Supreme One. What does the Bible say about this? Is there specific information to help us? Read with me from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Read with me again from Hebrews chapter 1, in verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now read with me from Colossians chapter 1, this time Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God Almighty appointed the one whom we refer to as Jesus the Christ to create and uphold all things that are created by the word of his power. Now, using the reasoning powers God gave and following the revelation from God through Jesus Christ, we must conclude that because we are rational creatures, we are able to determine that we owe our allegiance to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Read with me now from John chapter 12. In verses 48 through 50, our Lord said in John 12, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Man is a rational creature. Because of this, we all can understand that we are accountable to God because we are rational. We are accountable to God, if for no other reason, for the reason that we are rational. But our study does not end here. This is the starting place. Our rational character is a beginning place to investigate other compelling reasons to believe that we are accountable to God. Reason number two to believe that, man is a moral creature. Man is not only a rational creature, man is a rational, moral creature in nature. I know that many do not act in a moral nature, but that is because they have chosen not to act in a moral fashion. By moral, we mean relating to, dealing with, or capable of making a distinction between right and wrong in conduct. Man not only can reason, but we are affirming that man is capable of having and maintaining moral judgment, or is capable of determining what is right and what is wrong conduct. Moral judgment is a learned judgment. Babies are born without moral judgment. They must learn what is considered right and what is considered wrong. Babies are therefore born innocent, innocent of any wrongdoing. Babies are not accountable to God because of their innocence and because of their inability to make moral judgment. Moral judgment may be misinformed. Some are taught that it is acceptable to lie and steal. There have been societies in which it was considered acceptable to offer babies as human sacrifices to some idol god. In these instances, it obviously is a case of misinformation that creates a moral judgment which allows one to do those things with a good conscience. Because we are rational, moral creatures, we are accountable for our moral judgment. If we are accountable, then that means God must have provided mankind with an absolute standard of morality by which our moral judgment can be formed. If we are accountable for our moral judgment, and if God has provided mankind with an absolute moral standard, then all men are accountable to God to form their moral judgment with God's standard. Someone might argue by saying that although he believes he is accountable to do what is right, he believes he has the authority to determine within himself, for himself, what is right and what is wrong. This is but an argument for chaos in the moral realm. While one might think it wrong to commit fornication, another might think it right to steal another's wife or husband. While one might think it wrong to use force to avenge self, another might think it acceptable to murder an innocent person. We could enlarge the list until it became obvious that all are divided on nearly every subject, and force would be necessary to prevent brutal and immoral acts. It is obvious that a higher standard than one's own feelings is necessary for the welfare of mankind. Experiments in education emphasizes what we have already concluded. In some areas of the country where teaching on morality, that is, the teaching of an absolute standard of morality, was removed entirely from classrooms, it has been observed that the whole process of education failed. After a long enough time had elapsed to demonstrate. Then the job of getting morality back into the classrooms began. The education system will fail altogether where there is no absolute standard of morality invoked. Pragmatism fails in morality. An absolute standard must be used. Among animals where there is no such thing as morality, the animal kingdom flourishes as the stronger survives and the weaker eventually falls by the wayside. But neither is there rationality among animals. Instinct is inherent rather than a rational moral standard. And when I say there is no rationality, I'm simply saying that even though there may be intelligence, that intelligence is not the guiding principle of life, but instinct is in animals. Now, some men may want to claim to live as animals, but that is only so long as they are among the stronger. When they are the weaker and are forced to submit to the stronger in ways they strongly dislike, they begin to disapprove of the arrangement. In short, people will turn to a rational moral system in preference to an amoral system when they need protection and can't find it under the amoral system. To illustrate this further, do you remember what happened when the communist government was in power in Eastern Europe and other countries? Do you remember how hundreds of thousands of people risked their lives and were willing to lose all their material possessions to escape that kind of oppressive government and live in a democracy where morality was a part of the system? Furthermore, in the 80s, do you remember the Cubans fleeing oppression to come to this country? In the 90s, remember both the Haitians and Cubans who fled oppression to attempt to live in a democracy where the moral principles at least were evident. The fact that men will choose morality over amorality when given a choice proves that mankind is generally rationally moral in judgment. Given the fact that men can make a rational moral judgment proves the premise that man is accountable to make a rational moral judgment. But if men are accountable, to whom are they accountable? Is it that we are accountable only to ourselves? If that is true, we're right back to the chaotic conclusion that each individual is responsible only to self with the right to disregard the rights of others. Or, more clearly, that I have the supreme right to hold myself accountable only to me. Therefore, whatever I do toward others is dependent solely upon what I want or can do. This is the system that most people will reject given the choice. Man is accountable. But to whom is man accountable? Obviously, man is accountable to the one responsible for his being. This is God Almighty. Paul emphasizes this in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, when he said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Paul made this statement to prove his contention that all men ought to seek the Lord, Acts chapter 17, verse 27. The fact that God is responsible for our very existence from day to day shows that we should understand our accountability is to God. You and I are moral beings. Because we are moral beings and rational moral beings, we should rationally conclude that we are accountable to God in all things. This brings us to the third point, the third reason why man is accountable to God. Reason number three, man is the recipient of blessings from God. Suppose someone gives you a lovely, expensive gift. Do you acknowledge any accountability toward that person? Are you indebted to thank them? Should you feel any gratitude toward them? Are you accountable to express anything toward them because they gave you the gift? Nearly all people, even those in the most uncivilized countries, will respond in the affirmative to this. Yes, we have been taught in one way or another that when one gives something to us, we should respond in some good way. We have been taught to acknowledge accountability in this realm. How much more, then, should mankind acknowledge accountability to God, who gives us all that is good in life? Not one single thing that is good for us comes from any source other than God, at least indirectly. The fact that you can even think for yourself in a rational manner is a result of God blessing mankind this way. After all, we read that God created man in His own image, Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. This was the spiritual image, our character, in which man is a rational being. He therefore has a moral judgment capable of being trained to respond in an accountable way toward one who blesses us. Let's look at just a taste of the blessings we have. The sunshine, the rain, the snow, the fresh air, the good water, a bountiful earth, rivers, lakes, oceans, blue skies, medical supplies, and the fact that you have hearing, that you can listen, that you can understand, that you can reason. And this doesn't even begin the starting of a list of blessings. Do you get the picture? The good things we enjoy are things provided us by God. James affirms that all good things are given by God in James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is one reason we urge all rational people to turn to God, if for no reason other than gratitude for all God has done. One of the most compelling reasons for cheerful service to God by Christians is the gratitude for all God has done for us. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The word grace is a figure of speech used here. Grace, in its literal meaning, has to do with the gracious disposition of God. Being recipients of the good things provided by God's lovely disposition toward us, we should have hearts filled with gratitude. It is out of this overflowing gratitude toward God that Christians are to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because all men have been blessed of God, all men should readily acknowledge their accountability toward God to serve Him acceptably. We now arrive at our fourth and last reason that we're going to discuss for believing all men are accountable to God Almighty. Yes, we believe that all who are morally competent and of age to use that moral competence in executing judgments are accountable to God Almighty. Reason number four, man is a created being. Man is not a product of chance or evolution. Very few people actually believe they are an evolved creature when they are faced with the consequences of that belief. That's like in World War II, the old saying was, "You never find an atheist in a foxhole." For when men are faced with the ultimate consequences of their life, they don't always believe what they claim to believe. If man is merely an evolved product from some unknown quality of being, then man is not morally accountable to a being higher than himself. Some will try to evade the difficulty by claiming we are accountable to society. Why? We are society. We are society. Is society responsible for creating us? If so, we have created ourselves. Even those who have tried to apply the legal system based upon that premise are beginning to have second thoughts about the reliability of their judgment and certainly about the outcome of their judgment. Because it is a proof fact that mankind has freedom of will to choose as individual for ourselves, all rational people must ultimately come back to that fact in assessing their lives and trying to seek to influence the outcome. That judgment might clash with the judgment of others, but it is a proof fact that we are capable of such judgment. Because we have the ability to make our own choices, society around us is not responsible for what we do. We, as individuals, choose what we shall do and what we say. We might be influenced to make certain choices, but that is because we allow ourselves to be influenced. We make our own decisions and act out of those decisions. The fact that we are rational beings, possessing moral judgment, proves that a higher being created us. Use your rationality for a moment. Matter cannot produce non-matter. Rationality is non-matter. Therefore, a rational being created rational mankind. Matter cannot produce non-matter. Morality is non-matter. Therefore, before morality existed, there had to be a moral being capable of creating morality in whom he would. If anyone disputes this premise, let that one produce evidence to the contrary. Ask as for proof that the premise is correct. Just look back through history. Find where matter has ever produced non-matter. God is the only explanation for our existence and our capabilities. It is for this reason, in addition to the other three reasons, that we should consider ourselves accountable to God. Let's close with two or three remarks from the psalmist of Israel. We read in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork." In Psalm 139, the psalmist declared, beginning in verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." And now hear the psalmist in Psalm 116, verse 12. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" And I call your attention now to one last passage, this one in the New Testament, Romans 14, verse 7. "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." We believe we produce sufficient evidence to prove to the reasonable man that every rational, competent to make a moral judgment individual is accountable to God. We want you to not only know this, but we fervently pray that you'll have the desire to show your convictions regarding accountability toward God by submitting to his will today. It isn't what men think or feel about the matter, but what God says that matters eternally.